Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore. So please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. First, I want to just say thank you so much to everybody who has supported the show. We're past 650,000 downloads. Thank you, and thank you. Could not have done that without you. I hope you have enjoyed the shows and learned a lot, shared with friends and family. Again, just wanted to say thank you. Well, today, this month is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. And as you know, we always have something to learn, and even myself included. So I think it's important to continue to refresh our memories and our information. And so today I have a special guest, Dr. Danava A. Joseph, from the CDC's Colorectal Cancer Control Program. She's the medical director there. And they provide funding to about 25 states and 4 tribes across the U.S. to help people get low and free colorectal cancer screenings for men and women. So good morning, Dr. Joseph.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in today.
Yes, that's my pleasure.
So now let's start off. When we say colorectal cancer, what does that mean? What does that encompass in the body?
So your digestive tract starts with your mouth and, you know, ends at the other end where the waste comes out. But colorectal cancer refers to your large bowel, which is your large intestine, and then your rectum and your anus.
So a lot of times people are thinking about colon cancer. They only think colon. They don't think your mouth and your digestive system and how it's all connected. They're only thinking the lower part of the body.
Yes.
So how does somebody even know that they have colon cancer? What are some of the symptoms?
So, well, let me say that usually by the time you get symptoms, your cancer is probably fairly advanced. So the ideal thing is probably to try to find it before you even get to that point. But if you do get to that point, usually some of the symptoms you can get are bloating, like a change in bowel habits. Sometimes your stool can get really skinny, abdominal pain, weight loss for no reason. You know, you're not trying to lose weight, but you find yourself losing weight anyway, loss of appetite, things like that.
So now you said that by the time we have the symptoms, it's too late. So let's talk about these screenings. Your program, it's been around for about 5 years now. And how did you, tell the audience how you got connected to the program and becoming the medical director?
So, I came to CDC in 2005, and I went to the Division of Cancer Prevention and Control, which runs the program. And I started out doing research, and then I switched over to programmatic activities, and then I got into working a lot with colorectal cancer. So that's how I got involved in colorectal cancer, and that's my primary focus right now.
And so what exactly, it helps about 25 different states. How can states apply for the funding? Is it too late to get funding? Where would they go to get information about this as a state?
So right now we do 5-year funding cycles, so this cycle is getting ready to end. So assuming we get a budget from Congress.
Yay, please.
assuming many things, but you know, we should be putting out a new announcement sometime in 2014 that states, any state can apply to get funding for.
And so there's a website I've been posting a link, you know, for the last week or two about your website. Each state, they have a link and a phone number. You can look up on the CDC's website the local provider in your area, because some people don't have health insurance or their health insurance doesn't cover certain screenings. So this is a really important program. When you go to the website, I'll tweet about it again in Facebook and things like that. You can just look up your state, you know, Alabama, Nebraska, New York, wherever, and also American Indian, Alaskan Native organizations. There's a list there of the different areas, and then it gives you an address and a phone number. Now, if you want to call the actual program at the CDC, it's 1-800-CDC-INFO, and 24 hours a day, every day, you can reach them. Also, the email is cdcinfo@cdc.gov. Again, the phone number, 1-800-CDC-INFO, and cdcinfo@cdc.gov is the email. So now, what types of screenings do people get? People, when they start talking about the colon, and there's this thing with guys and the colon. This is just drama. It's just stupidity. I mean, look, you're trying to save your life. But let's talk about what are the tests, what are the screenings, what actual screenings happen or need to happen on a regular basis.
All right, so you have lots of different options with colorectal cancer. So it's a little different than, say, breast cancer, where your option is pretty much a mammogram, and that's kind of it. So you can get a colonoscopy. So that's where they take a little flexible tube, and they go up through your rectum and look at your colon. You can get a what they call a fecal occult blood test. So that's where you take a sample of your stool and you put it on a little card and you send it back to the lab, and then they test it to see if there's any blood present that you can't see with your eyes. There's also flexible sigmoidoscopy, which is kind of like a short version of a colonoscopy. And there are some other tests out there, like CT colonography or virtual colonoscopy. That's where you get a CAT scan, which is kind of like an X-ray, and it looks at your bowel, and they can see if you have polyps in there. If they see something, then you would have to go and get a colonoscopy.
Let's talk about the colonoscopy, because this is the real fear. Like when people say colonoscopy, all about, oh, no, I ain't nobody poking nothing up in me. You know, this whole, like, you know. Now, people, you're, like, semi-knocked out a little. They give you a little something to relax you.
Yes.
And you really don't feel, my understanding is you feel pressure, a little pressure.
Yes.
But you're not feeling pain, and, you know, it's not like a fun, happy, oh, let's go give a colonoscopy to this person and torture them. You know what I mean? And several celebrities are stars. Like, I know Katie Couric, she did one on air. And, so talk to the audience about that, to put them at ease about when they get a colonoscopy, what actually happens. I know you have to drink a liquid and different things, but they do give you something to relax you. So talk to them about that.
Right. Yeah, so it's not as awful and horrible as it sounds. So, yes, you do have to drink the liquid, and that sort of cleans out your insides. You do that the day before and maybe a little bit the day of, and then you go in. You have to go with somebody who has to take you so you can have someone to drive you home. And, yes, they give you medication that doesn't knock you out completely, but sort of sedates you, and usually you honestly don't really remember what they did until you wake up. And most people do fine, and it's not painful. You might feel a little bit of pressure, but it doesn't take but 10, 15 minutes for them to actually do the colonoscopy, and then you're done.
What age did you start getting a colonoscopy?
Yeah, so if you don't have any family history, so your mother, your father, your brother, or sister don't have any history of colon cancer or polyps, you can start at age 50. But this is where it's important to know your family history, and a lot of people don't, unfortunately. But ask your parents and your grandparents and your cousins and your brothers and sisters, have they ever had colon cancer or if they've had polyps, because that may change the time when you need to start. You may need to start before you actually turn 50.
Now, let's talk about diet. And because, again, when we talked about colon cancer earlier, I mentioned how even myself visually, I just think lower body. I'm not thinking about how it starts from my mouth down my esophagus, all the digestion, all these things are involved. So in terms of diet, what things increase our risk for getting colon cancer?
So certainly things like being overweight in general can increase your risk. Alcohol has been associated with increased risk. you know, there was a lot of to-do maybe about 10 years ago about fiber in your diet. So the jury's still kind of in and out on that one, whether increased fiber
can being
decrease,
good or fiber being bad.
Good. So help eating more fiber can decrease your risk. In general, kind of the Western diet, as we sort of think of it, sort of high in red meat and fat and sugar, in general may be associated with an increased risk of colorectal cancer. So you look at countries that don't have a Western diet, they tend to have much lower rates. So suggestive, not definitive, though.
So we think fiber is good for you. Now, fruits and vegetables, yes, I would assume are good.
Yes, fruits and vegetables, yep, roughage.
Mm-hmm. And I always hear roughage, it cleans out, it helps clean. Now, how does it do that, actually? I mean, is it because it takes so much for us to digest it? How does roughage really help clean out our colon and keep us clean, so to speak?
Yeah, so roughage and fiber are essentially indigestible. So what happens is it creates bulk in your intestines, and it actually sort of pulls everything out with it when it comes out the other end. So you don't actually absorb it, but that's how it sort of keeps your bowels moving, because something's sort of constantly moving through.
But we absorb the vitamins from it, but we just don't absorb the actual
item
itself.
So the fiber. So roughage tends to have a lot of fiber, so it's really that's the part that you're not absorbing. So like when you try to pull apart your spinach, you know, and it gets all stringy, that's the fiber part. Yeah.
So now kale is supposed to be like this super, super vegetable. Is that something that can help with colon cancer, rectum cancer, and avoiding that? Or
in general? It's been hard to sort of identify sort of specific foods. Like when you look at studies that try to identify this food or that food as being good or bad, it's really hard to tease it out. Because hardly anyone eats only that food and nothing else. So it can be really difficult to sort of say with any sort of certainty that this food will help and that food won't. But in general, if you eat lots of fruits and vegetables and avoid lots of red meat, you know, kind of a low-fat, reasonable diet, you're definitely better off. Yeah.
And now let's talk about the exercise. You mentioned overweight being one of the issues that can increase your risk for colorectal cancer. How much overweight? I mean, you know, some people are a little shapely. I have big bones. I mean, and then there's the issue of where you hold the weight. Sometimes they say when your weight is in your gut, that's worse than if it's like in your hips and then, you know, all these things. So talk to me about weight and colorectal cancer prevention.
Yeah, most of the studies I've actually looked at obesity. So obesity is generally considered a BMI or body mass index of greater than 30. So it depends how long you've been obese, what kind of diet you had. Do you exercise? So sometimes people can be overweight or obese, but they are in very good shape otherwise. So there are some studies to suggest that maybe if you're overweight but you're otherwise healthy, that your risk might not actually be all that different. So there's some subtleties to that, but in general, being obese for certain has been associated with colorectal cancer.
Now, if somebody does find out that that they have colorectal cancer, what kind of treatments are available, and what is their because you said, unfortunately, once it gets to the point they actually start having symptoms, it might be too late. Is there any hope? I mean, let's see what we can do to help people get a little hope.
So the good news is the earlier that you find it, the better. So if you go in for your screening test, maybe you're a little bit late, maybe you're 58, 60, and, you know, it just so happens maybe they find an early-stage cancer, you're still in good hands. Your likelihood of survival is still very high. Usually the treatment is surgery, so they take out the part of the colon that's affected usually, and usually that does the trick. But certainly as you go farther along, the bigger the cancer is or the farther it's spread, the more difficult it gets. So definitely the message here I would say is go get that screening test, get it done as close to 50 as you can. If they find a cancer early, then you're still in good shape. That's okay. You can get good treatment and you'll all likelihood will do just fine.
And now, in terms of like chemotherapy, radiation, all the what are those? Do people have to go through that? Is that an option? Is that a last resort?
Yeah, so it depends on. So they have stages of colorectal cancer. So let's say stage one is like it's confined just to your colon. The opposite end of the spectrum is stage four, so it's spread to some other organ like your liver or your lungs. So in between that is usually when you would might need chemotherapy. So surgery is usually a primary treatment. You may need additional chemotherapy on top of that. But surgery is usually the primary treatment.
Wow. And now, like you said, it depends on the level, because once you have it and then you get the surgery, you can still function. There are many people who still function. It's not like they're in they have a bag or where, you know,
right,
they can't eat and regular and things of that nature. So what percentage would you say in the U.S., I mean, I don't know if you know this off the top, of people who have colon cancer and survive and just continue on with their lives because it was caught soon or in time, so to speak?
Right. Yeah, I probably couldn't give you a percentage, but I will say that for people who are diagnosed in stage one, let's say their five-year survival rate, so if you took, you know, if you had 100 people who were diagnosed with stage one, 5 years later, 90 of them would still be alive, so that's 90%. So that's,
wow, that's
pretty good.
Really,
yeah,
yeah,
so,
that's a really good number.
Yeah, so it's not
as
if...
That's important.
Yeah, so, you know, I think people tend to still have this attitude that cancer is like a death sentence, but it isn't necessarily, but that's why it's important to go get tested. I think sometimes people are afraid to get tested because they're afraid they'll find something, but you actually want to find, if you're going to find something, you want to find it early. Don't wait until it's spread to all corners, and then it's much more difficult to treat.
Yeah, see, that's the key right there, people. I mean, if you get it soon enough, then there's hope. You get it taken care of, and you go on with the rest of your life. Hopefully you'll learn and eat better, exercise, and so on and so forth. But if you wait and you don't get the tests and the screenings, then you're, like, basically you shot yourself in the foot.
Right.
And, I mean, trust me, I mean, I'm not perfect. I have different health issues and things of that nature and things, you know, you get scared. But I do try to definitely, something that my parents drilled in me, which is fortunate, is getting my checkups. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, right now, I try to drill that into my daughter because she's, you know, grown, she's going to college and all, and I'm like, don't forget to get your flu shot, you know, make sure you sign
right.
to get your yearly checkup. And the crazy part is that her doctor, I remember when she, her last checkup, oh, she doesn't have to come back for about a year or two, she's healthy, she's never had any history, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you go every year.
Mm-hmm.
I did not care. I was like, you go every year. If the insurance company is paying for it, you go every year and get your checkups. And if nothing's there, great. You know what I mean? But that's
right.
just a peace of mind, you know, for yourself. So let's just review some of the things we talked about. I was hoping that one of the survivors, Bill Campbell, was going to call in. Perhaps something has come up. But so in the beginning, we want to talk about getting your screenings starting at 50, as long as you don't have a family history.
Correct.
Knowing your family history is important, right?
Yes.
Also, not thinking about colorectal cancer as just the colon and the rectum, but starting from your mouth down is important, and that means what you put into your mouth is important. And putting in your mouth fiber, fruits and vegetables, roughage, helping clean out your colon and things. Let me see if this might be Bill here. Hold on a second. Good morning. You're calling from 215 area code?
Hi, this is Bill Campo.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for calling in. This is Joy Keyes and Dr. Joseph on the line.
Yes.
Thank you so much for calling in. You're calling in on behalf of from the American Cancer Society, yes?
Yes, Coaches vs. Cancer program.
And tell us about the program.
Coaches vs. Cancer is an initiative between the National Association of Basketball Coaches, that's the Collegiate Basketball Coaches, and the American Cancer Society to raise funds to fight the disease.
That is so wonderful. And are you a coach?
No, I'm a volunteer with the American Cancer Society and the Coaches vs. Cancer program.
Okay. And so now talk to me a little bit about your story. I know you yourself are a colon cancer survivor, correct?
Yes. I've been fighting the disease since 1997 on behalf of
mm-hmm.
Coaches vs. Cancer. But I tell everyone, it got a little personal in 2009 when I was diagnosed with colon cancer.
And how did you find out? What, were you having symptoms? Did you just go for a general screening?
No, I had been having cramps for several months. And when they started getting worse, I had a colonoscopy. And then after the colonoscopy, they looked at the slides and determined that I had a mass in my colon, It was at the, what they call, I don't want to get technical, but it was at the ileocecal valve, which was very unusual. And I had to have an operation, and they removed 20% of my colon.
Wow. And so what were some of your feelings when you found out? And did you share with friends and family right away, or did you just sit with it? What overcame you, so to speak?
To be honest, I kind of like kept it to myself, and I didn't want to sound like, well, yeah, I've been working for Coaches Versus Cancer for years, and now I didn't want to sound like a hero. So I kept it to myself. And then I had to go and tell everybody once my hair started falling out and after I was getting.
Oh, gosh.
So there was no way of hiding it then. So I finally, you know, just told everybody what I had had.
And so now once you did the treatment and they did the surgery and you had the radiation, how long did it take you, a year, 2 years, to feel like maybe normal again, quote unquote?
Well, I hate to use these sayings, but I had had chemotherapy, and I had it for 7 months up until December of 2009, and I jokingly tell everybody, chemotherapy is everything it's cracked up to be. It was really difficult, but after December of 2009, I had gone in again for a scan, and I was clean, so... maybe they caught it early, maybe because they removed the cancerous part of the colon. But fortunately, I was, you know, clean after that 7 months of chemotherapy.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you on the call today, here alive, well, talking, still fighting to get people to, you know, get their screenings and make them aware. I mean, you are courageous. I mean, maybe you don't want to be a hero, but, you know, mentally, I think, you know, people need others that have gone through something ahead of them to say, hey, you know what, you can make it. It can happen, you know, stay the course. And it's so important, the work that you're doing. I want to bring Dr. Joseph in the call. Now, does his story sound usual to you or unusual in terms of, is it 7 months of chemo? Is that something that people might have to expect? Again, it depends on what stage the cancer is. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on, you know, what stage you're at when the cancer is found. So it can vary quite a bit depending on where you are. But, you know, that experience probably is fairly typical, I'd say.
Now, do you have to go every year now, Bill, to get a screening? Or is it every 2 years? How often do you go get screenings now?
In the year 2010 through 2012, those 2 years, I was going to Fox Chase Cancer Center every 3 months. And, you know, in December of 2012, which was the 3-year mark, and I guess, they feel that, you know, 3 years is a good, you know, time, they now have cut me down to once every 6 months. So I'll be going again in June of 2013.
Wow. So every 3 months you had to go just to make sure. And were you getting a colonoscopy or were you getting like a fecal matter test? What type of test, do you mind me asking, you had to get?
Well, it was all blood work.
And, okay, blood work.
Blood work every 3 months. And then every 6 months it was a scan, which, you know, you drink the Kool-Aid and they sit there for a while and then they do a scan. So that was the treatment. Blood work every 3 months, and on a 6-month anniversary, so to speak, I had a scan also.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you so much, Bill, for sharing your story today. I want to thank Dr. Joseph from the CDC's Colorectal Cancer Control Program for being on the call today. Again, we just want to talk about getting your screening starting at age 50, eating lots of fruits and vegetables, exercising, not ignoring symptoms in your body, keeping your weight down is very important. Also, a major key factor is knowing your family history, because you might need to get screenings earlier than 50 if you have a history of polyps or colon cancer in your family. And don't just think about colon cancer from the waist down. It starts with what's going in your mouth as well. So those are all things to keep in mind. Thank you so much, Dr. Joseph, and thank you, Bill, for coming on today.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you. And I want to shout out to the American Cancer Society for allowing Bill to come on the call today. You guys both have a wonderful Saturday, okay?
Okay, great.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with Dr. Janava Joseph, Medical Director for the CDC's Colorectal Cancer Control Program. They are supporting 25 states and 5 different tribes across the U.S., helping people get low and free colorectal cancer screenings. They will be doing funding, hopefully, again, in 2014. So if you're an organization in the U.S., you can reach out to them to try to get funding. Stay tuned. I'll be speaking with filmmaker Byron Hart about his movie Soul Food Junkies and also about his new film he's working on called Hazing. And you can call in 646-929-0368 at 1130 to talk to Byron and learn more about the program. I hope you guys have a wonderful Saturday. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys. And you can become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi,